Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This is Rebecca and I'm pleased today to be joined by Jen, who is going to be talking with us about the upcoming trip to Africa. Welcome, Jen. Oh, Jen.
Jen, are you there?
Oh, okay.
There she is.
No, shoot. It wasn't. I was muted. Sorry about that.
Well, welcome, Jen.
I was already gushing. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Thanks for being here and doing this with us.
Oh, it's so fun. So there is always an excitement in the air whenever a trip to Africa is, you know, pending and on the horizon. But I don't know if it's just me, but this year it seems like the buzz is even, like, buzzier. You know, there's just so much excitement. Maybe it's because of the bridge walk or, you know, I don't know, but there's so much happening. And I'm so glad that you are here to talk with us about it and fill us in on some of the things that y'all have planned. And maybe you can start by telling us if there's any particular focus for this trip.
Well, I think you put your finger right on it, actually. This is the first time that we've ever been there during bridge walk season. Because, of course, we can't be there during bridge walk season because we're here planning a bridge walk. And so we've got our hands full. I mean, it really tends to be a very busy time for us as we're leading up to that event. And we're doing at the same time, we're having the campaign happen and all those things. And so, you know, it isn't a time historically that we're in Zambia. And, of course, for a number of reasons this year, it just, things came together and it occurred to us that we really could do it in this other way. And I think we've talked on a number of Good News Updates in terms of how the campaign is happening in another way. But also with that, seeing, gosh, well, what if we had the actual event in Zambia this year? And so that's what we're doing. And so I'm really excited that we're going to be able to be there. You know, with technology, we're always, in many ways, we have much, much more access to being able to be, quote, with the team, even when we're not physically there, than we ever have before. But it's not the same as being able to be there and to be on the ground and to be able to kind of bring the news back firsthand.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's occurring to me as you're talking that it is such a gift to all of us in Sangha that y'all are going to be on the ground there, because we can't all be on the ground at the same time.
Exactly.
So with the technology the way it is, we get the best of both worlds. We get to have you and Sherry and the rest of the team there. Ashwini, and I don't know who all else is going yet, but you know, but the team gets to be on the ground, and we sort of get to be there vicariously through you and then have the benefit of being on the live stream event on December 1st so that we get to be there virtually as well.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, I was just thinking about that, saying exactly what you're talking about, that, you know, it's true in this content. It feels like it's true across the board with Sangha, that I often think about that when people call into the radio show and they talk about, you know, things, practice with being a parent and what that's like to raise kids. And I think, gosh, I'm so glad people are doing that because I'm not. You know, but I get to have the experience though through them, through their, you know, talking about it. So it's kind of like that, really.
Exactly. It is. It's such an example, a real felt example of we are all one. You know, there's just not, this non-separate reality that we keep talking about, and then getting to experience it. Because, you know, just the heart-opening experience of reading the blogs, much less getting to hear them sing on the live stream and everything else that we get to look forward to, you know, from past experiences and from what it sounds like is going to happen while you're there.
Yes, yes. So, as you mentioned, Sherry and Ashwini will also be on the ground. That's a huge opportunity, you know, amazing. It's not often that we can put that much resource in on the project all at once. So that's really, really exciting, and that's exciting for the team. It's exciting for the vision work that we can do during that time. And as I say, you know, bringing back the, you know, the excitement and the energy around the fundraising. In fact, I was just looking at the site just a few minutes ago. our the site that we built around the campaign this year, which people can link to in lots of different ways, but probably the most straightforward way is to go to the Living Compassion website, go on the Africa part of the website, and then on the drop-down menu under Get Involved, there's a link that says Follow Their Lead, and there are links to get to the site. And we have 30 teams already fundraising. And I just thought that's teams, you know?
I know, that's teams. That multiply that times all the people that are participating
exactly.
in the other way, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, if I'm inviting 50 people to, you know, contribute, to participate on my team, you know, and then multiply that times 30, I mean, it gets big fast. So.
Oh, I know. It is so exciting. Well, and I just had my first donor contribute to my page, my team, today.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. That's such a moment, isn't it?
It is. It was such a thrill because I just, you know, I created my team, and I got to say the experience of doing it for me was very intuitive. It was very just step, it leads you, and I utilize the tools that we have. So we have a video that y'all made to walk us through the process, and then there's just a step-by-step link or email or something. I read it. I just remember reading it, and those were so helpful. So people, I mean, we've got just the hand-holding process down on this one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Some of the other really fun things. So as you mentioned, December 1st, which is a Saturday, will be, as our day is ending over there, and the day is just beginning here, so 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. Eastern time, will be when we're getting together virtually to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And so more information is coming out about that May. I can never sort it out whether only the test email has come through or the real email. I can't remember. But at any rate, if it hasn't come out, it's coming out very soon. More information on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that also we're going to be able to do things like, you know, earlier in the year, we had the huge news that the first two girls who graduated from grade 12 have started nursing school. So they're really the pioneers, right? They're the first little kids that have grown up with us all the way, and off they go to nursing school, and they're literally going to be the first in their communities to get a degree and then graduate, get a job, and truly be able to support themselves financially. So it's a giant milestone for the project, and we're going to be able to go and see them. They're already doing what they call attachment. We would call it an internship. So they're already there with their stethoscopes and their white coats and doing their thing, and we're going to go see them.
Oh, my gosh. So on the December 1st live stream thing, we're going to get to see them?
No. Sorry.
Oh.
No. But on the blog, you will. We're really
So y'all are going to get to go visit them, and you'll report back and post pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just that's just as exciting.
Exactly.
Oh, how fun. Yes.
Yeah. So that's huge. We're also going to get to visit another big piece of news that happened earlier this year was that there are, I think it's about 15 girls who are going to kind of what we would call, I guess, a charter school. And it's a great school, and there are these 15 girls who are sort of doing this pilot thing where they're really getting a, you know, these are girls who have self-selected, they've really got their eye on academics, that sort of thing. So we're going to be able to go to that school, see them in their new environment, get to meet with the teachers, talk to the teachers about how can we support their efforts, you know, how can we really in the home environment really support them. So that's going to be really fun.
Wow.
I know. Action packed.
Keep going. What else?
And then, of course, one of the big things is that we get to be on the property and walk through the whole project. And it's really, we were talking about this at the monastery recently. I was saying that one of my great pleasures always is when I get to pick someone up, say, you know, if they're coming in by public transport and we get to pick them up in the van and drive them into the monastery, when I arrive at the monastery, I see the monastery through fresh eyes just by having someone with me who is seeing it with fresh eyes. And I'm really excited for It's been a number of years since Ferry and Ashwini have been able to be on the ground, and to have them there, the excitement of the team to welcome them back, as Teresa and they all say, welcome home, because this is your home. As far as we're concerned, your home is here with us in Cantalumba. So welcoming them home and getting to see the property and the project through those fresh eyes again, and really having that reinvigoration of what an inspiring thing it is, you know, what a miracle it is. And that feels like that's the place always from where the next step springs of, okay, here we are, where are we, and what seems like the next thing. So that's always exciting too.
Oh, what a good point. So having that freshness of, you know, of the return home, you know, that Sherry and Ashwini get to really be on the ground, have all those resources there with for the homecoming, and then that the visioning process sort of grows out of that freshness and of just seeing it all once again. Of course, you know, you go there, you know, all the time, but even as you say, seeing it with them brings a freshness to your own eyes about the project.
It does, exactly. And it's funny you say that, because I know I think Teresa and the team there have that same experience. I mean, we go when we're there. We are, you know, you've been there. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're, you know, it's just nonstop. And I'll often say to Teresa, you know, partway through the trip and then again at the end, God, Teresa, I hope this is okay. You know, we're not killing you here. She was like, I love it. She said, I have so much fun when you're here. I just, because she loves, it's like us loving retreat season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we are, talk about on the go. We're on the go, and it's just nothing better just being used up in that way where you're just, wow, just swimming in the inspiration of this thing that you get to be a part of. It's just so much fun.
It is. I mean, just as you're describing it, I'm just grinning from ear to ear. And because, you know, the energy just rises to meet the opportunity that's there, that life has provided. And that's why I predict, Teresa says, I love it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, that was really, and I know, but that was beautiful what you just said. That I think that's what we love so much about it, is that it feels so good to be lived so fully that way, that it really is a privilege to have something that calls you up in that way.
Yeah.
And I really, really hope that we can bring some of that. That's one of my main kind of, hopes for this trip, is that we can have that enthusiasm come back to the team here and have people be able to plug into the campaign this year and to really see, yes, you know, a few privileged folks get to actually be there on the ground, but we're all part of it. We're all in that amazing, miraculous flow of getting to participate in making it happen.
Yes, amen. Because that is so my experience. As I was sending out the email to people about the fundraising, I really did feel that very thing, that this is such a privilege to get to invite people. I mean, it's such a privilege to get to participate in something this beautiful, this much in integrity and in love and all of that, that it is a privilege for all of us around, for me doing the inviting, and I project for people getting to be invited, for y'all getting to be on the ground, we getting to participate. It's just a win all the way around. We'll be following the trip really with great enthusiasm and can't wait to see the blogs and to certainly get on the Bridgewalk site on December 1st. And I think the email did go out today, because I know I signed up for it.
One other little thing that just dropped in. Rebecca, super quickly, when you were saying, you know, the enthusiasm, the excitement, you know, feels like even more this time, but I was chuckling to myself thinking, maybe it's the thousands of T-shirts laid out in a dorm that are getting packed. And that's one of the really fun things. We just shipped a giant box of T-shirts to Sridevi on the East Coast, who is also traveling with us, who does an extraordinary service of really helping to administratively hold the program together and track the girls' program and all that sort of thing. So she's over there on the East Coast diligently getting well from a cold, so that she'll be ready to hop on that airplane on the weekend with her, you know, huge box of suitcases. I have two huge suitcases loaded with T-shirts So watch for pictures of that on the blog, too. I mean, we literally have all 17 years of the Bridge Rock represented in those suitcases.
Oh,
so
I love it.
I mean, from like baby sizes up to giant sizes. So that's going to be a really fun fashion show.
I can't wait to see all those Bridge Rock t-shirts we displayed in Zambia. Well, thank you.
All right.
Jen.
Thank
it's
you
been
so
very
much,
fun
Rebecca.
And safe travels, and we look forward to the blog.
Okay, perfect. Bye-bye.
So, Michael, now we'll turn it over to you and Shwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Great. Great. I'm happy to be here, too, and I'm excited about the Bridge Walk and your trip, and I know all the blogs I'm going to read and videos, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yes. It's wonderful to hear that energy and that excitement. And what I love most about it is that it's such a sense of belonging, right? Even if you're not going to be at the Bridge Walk live on the ground, there's a way in which we can palpably know that we're part of it, and feel that sense of this is our project, and the excitement is a shared excitement. I don't know. I've never actually had that experience with anything else before. You know, that enthusiastically going, this is mine to participate in. I'm as excited as if I was actually going there.
Yes.
Yeah. It brings me to that Aldous Huxley quote. I think that love is a mode of knowledge. You only know what you truly love. And I think that when we get to participate in this way, when we put ourselves in the queue, or when we do the practice, or we show up in some way for something, there's a way in which we know it that allows us to have that experience of belonging or participation, which just reading about it or knowing about it doesn't. Such a testament to the Sangha experience, because it's everyone's participation that allows everyone to feel as if it's theirs.
Yes, exactly. That's what dropped in, actually, that this is my project. I participate in it, I give to it, I receive from it.
Yes.
It's mine, it's ours, it's everyone's.
Yeah, and it's such a sense of ownership that's not egocentric.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Great. I have some announcements here, unless there's anything else you'd like to share about Africa and all of that.
Nope, I'm waiting to hear what we've got.
Okay. First thing is what we don't have, and that is a radio show next week, because everybody will be in Africa. So no radio show, no open air next Tuesday, November 27th.
We'll just listen to an archive.
There we go, yes. And as we've been hearing, celebrate courage, generosity, and family as part of the Africa Project, and sign up for one of our fabulous fundraising teams this year. You'll also want to join the 2018 Bridge Walk in Cantalumba via live stream on December 1st. And you can RSVP for the Bridge Walk at livingcompassion.org.
I believe that register link is actually on the Bridge Walk page on the Africa site, as well as I believe we're linking to it from the What's New page and the schedule page.
Okay, great. Great.
And we also sent an email out today that has the links to the registration.
Great. And also on the website, the 2019 schedule preview is posted. So check it out and mark your calendars. And a couple of reminders for today's show. If you'd like to get in the queue and talk with Ashwini, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation on one topic that's about 5 minutes long is great. Okay, you ready, Ashwini?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan in Ventura.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. So, what I've been thinking about, part of it's part of the year-long retreat, but it, you know, it all always pertains, is around the whole idea of not taking what other people do personally. And I recently had an experience where I went on a trip with sort of an intact family unit, and I was sort of the kind of along for the ride with them. And I fared pretty well for a few days, and then pretty soon I was like, oh, I don't fit in. I don't belong. I'm not, you know, that. In my narrative, I didn't really notice anybody reaching out to me. I mean, I did for a while till I ran out of energy. And I'm still processing it because, you know, I'm telling myself, okay, don't take it personally. You know, this is how it is. You do belong, blah, blah, blah. But I still feel hurt and pained. And there's a piece of me that's sort of like, okay, that's it for you. You're out, you know, that punishing piece. And the hurt feels genuine to me, even if the logic is a little crazy. You know, it's like, how do I acknowledge what I feel, not deny it, and yet have a perspective, if that. Because I'm still processing it, and it's been days, you know. I'm not agonizing, but I'm trying to make peace with it somehow. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
May I project there, Susan, that because you practice awareness, the process you're in is bringing into conscious awareness what isn't in conscious awareness, right? That's what process is.
Yeah.
That you're looking at what it is that's going on here that you cannot see that's operating, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yes.
Because otherwise and I still would be perseverating about it.
That's right. There's suffering here, and because you're in the, you are attempting to end suffering, you're looking at the process and allowing life to inform you in terms of insight what's going on and using the practice tools to assist you to see through what you what you're not seeing yet. And so
Go ahead. No, no, I want to hear what you have to say because I'm kind of tired of my thoughts.
So to me, there are several things that are interesting, right? It places of exploration. So one is that place of the exploring the hurt, and of course with the two-handed reporting exercise, really to assist that feeling of not belonging, of being abandoned, of being forsaken, of not being included, really to look at that and explore it, because I project that it's a process that is fairly that repeats in other places. It may not be with this content in this form, but not feeling included is a fairly universal human experience, right? And so for you to look at what does that mean for you? Does it mean that you're not loved? Does it mean that you're not reflected? Does it mean that what do you want about that? What's that need that is, it's just really an exploration with that two-handed recording to get really, really clear about expressing that hurt, having that hurt validated, having that hurt reflected, having it acknowledged, having it accepted. It, the process of the two-handed exercise allows you to explore that, but also to have the piece that is missing here, which is what the mentor will do, which is to hold that entire experience in acceptance rather than what the conditioned process is delivering as a self-hating message, that you've just been rejected by your family.
Right?
Yeah, so there's a process of acceptance.
Go ahead. And I think I did the two-handed recording, but I don't think I was really talking to the mentor because what came back was very logical and analytical, and, you know, it wasn't like you said, kind of a holding and an acceptance. It was like, talking me out of it, which is why I think, you know, and then it occurred to me like, well, hey, maybe I need to do this a few times. So it's like,
yes,
oh,
exactly.
One and done, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
It tends to do that for us, right? Because there's a way in which part of what we recognize is that the reason we're feeling that way is because we're being talked into that experience. So, yes, if we can be talked into that experience, there's clearly something that is not in awareness, not in conscious awareness.
You there? Hello?
Can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for some reason it dropped for a minute. Yeah, when you were talking, you said, what does this mean to you, this little voice? And he goes, it means I don't matter. You know, I'm not important. I don't matter.
Yes.
And I know that feels so old. It just makes me sad to even say it.
Yes. Yeah, that we feel, we get in touch with the first message of self-hate that we ever experienced, right? You don't count.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to really deal with the energy of that hurt, and through that process of reassurance of that being accepted, we kind of counteract it, because there's nothing in the world that can allow us to feel like we matter except that unconditional acceptance. Because everywhere we look at it and seek it outside of ourselves, what we're going to encounter is the karma or that conditioning that wants to give you the message that it doesn't count. Even if people are falling all over themselves to say that you belong, it's not going to be the message that you receive, because the conditioning is going to interpret it in a way that is contrary to that. That's what taking it personally means. It's interpreting the circumstance to make it about the ego, about reinforcing the conditioning. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
we have to be in a process of giving it to ourselves.
And I think it's really a
process of. Yes, exactly that. Keep doing it till, because that hurt is centuries old, right? It's like from the beginning of beginningless time, that's what you've been carrying. And so it has to be met with that energy of patient acceptance, that unconditional patient acceptance, in order for that to dissolve. So that's what you're doing, right? You're moving into that unconditional and providing that reassurance that absolutely you count.
Yeah, and how it's helpful to hear about having patience, because it was like, well, this should be done now. I should have moved through it rather than I may have to have 100 recording listens saying the same thing over and over till it can seep in, because I noticed that propensity to like go out for, you know, acceptance and for belonging, and I don't want to do that for the rest of my life. It's exhausting, and it never pays off, you know.
It's an impossible task, because you're not the thing that we grow when we grow up, right? Spiritually, is when we realize that the acceptance that we're looking for outside, we're never going to receive. And that's a really hard thing to let go of. And the conditioning doesn't allow us to do that easily, right?
Yeah, and I really think, you know, like I know there's a big learning in this. It was a vacation. There was no vacation. Is that I'm going to have, I'm in the process of letting go of that, and it is not easy. It's just, it's like I'm stumbling for solid ground somehow, because I don't know, I don't quite have a replacement for it yet. So,
there's two parts to that, the training around the two-handed recording exercise, right? Mm-hmm. One, you have to deal with the energy of the hurt. There's an exploration of how the message is landing that can be countered. And so it's bringing that experience into unconditional love. But listening back to the recording is a way of tuning into and replacing that search for the external, because we are training ourselves to turn to that which can mirror for us that we absolutely count. That's the replacement, right?
Okay.
Training the receptor to receive the unconditional from a source that is you within quotes, right? That is the intelligence that animates, that you're not used to receiving it from. Because all you're used to is seeking it in a place which is not going to give it to you, and for that to be familiar.
Yeah, it's new. So what I hear is it needs to be reiterative and repetitive till it sinks in. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And when we get to that place, there's a second place we can practice with it, right? Because that conscious and centered awareness can possibly ignore the messages that you don't belong. After all, you're in this vacation with this family, and there is a possibility to ask for what you want, right?
Not go to that
place where we are sent by the voices of self-hate, which is a very young place that only knows, okay, well, no one's asking me to, no one's including me, so you know what? I'm going to go off and do my own thing because you clearly don't you clearly don't like me or want to have anything to do with me, so I don't want to have anything to do with you either.
Hoping all the time that someone
will notice and come running back and say, of course we want you, right?
But
that very grown-up place with that centered awareness from which we can say, excuse me, but I'm here. And not from a place of desiring or longing or hurt or whatever, but from that place of knowing you belong, there's the ability to facilitate the interaction.
And the willingness. Yeah.
That
and the willingness to be vulnerable. Yeah.
That's exactly that. Instead of letting the self-hate exclude us, we can let the love include ourselves.
Yeah, it didn't even occur to me. You know, I did the withdrawal. I hope you notice I'm not here. I'm punishing you. You know, that whole, I mean, it was so immature. I was like amazed, but I couldn't pull myself. The best I could do was not to say or do anything I was going to regret. And I just had that thought drop in today, like, well, maybe you could have asked. And I'm like, wow, felt so vulnerable, or ego feels vulnerable, but yeah, that's a good learning, not from a place, but
yeah. But it points us to the conditioning, right, which is we've been listening to so much self-hate that was so negated that we don't believe that we would be welcome. Which is the whole training that we're doing in practice, which is not to listen to the self-hate and get to the point where we're so included that it would never occur to us that we weren't welcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there are dimensions that you can practice on it, right? So the two-handed recording, which is for the hurt, to train to turn to the unconditional. It's kind of like when the voices say this, they are lying. So what is true for me is, in order to counter the voices that are telling you you don't belong, and then to work with a mentor to help you practice that place of centered awareness from which you could facilitate the belonging, right?
Right.
And
I feel better just a couple little gems, because it's one thing to go through an experience that isn't fun or enjoyable, but it's another thing to come away and still not feel like I learned something. So as long as I learned something, then there's a gem in it. So this has been, it's been really helpful. I appreciate it.
Exactly. So it's we're always giving an opportunity to see something, aren't we? And if we take it, it's never a wasted opportunity.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. I feel
welcome.
Better.
Okay, good, excellent.
Bye.
Take care, Susan.
Okay, good. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. Ashwini, what dropped in during that is just the willingness to keep showing up and practicing with the opportunities in our life and all of us together, that Sangha experience, it's incredibly supportive to me.
It is. It really is. Yeah, the willingness to keep showing up and to practice with whatever content that's there, that's in our life to practice with. It's what we're suffering over now. So let me use that.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And we have another call here.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Ashwini. It's Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, I need guidance on how to survive an in-law who is a bulldozing manic alcoholic because my nervous system goes into overwhelm.
Say that again, Elizabeth. I'm not quite sure I followed. An in-law who's what?
A bulldozer. A bulldozing manic talkaholic.
So if I'm following you, she talks a lot?
He talks in a very loud voice. He talks at you or at me. And my nervous system just goes right into overwhelm. In like my body goes into a different physiological state of overwhelm right away.
Uh-huh. So when he's around, you notice yourself going into this state of like nervous tension, anxiety, overwhelm.
Yeah, that was and just so, over the phone. And so there's going to be two weeks with him.
So how do you support yourself in that? What are you seeing about how do you practice with it?
Well, I projected that the only way I'm going to be able to stay conscious is by having just the whole time keep saying, what I'm feeling in my body now is, and what I'm feeling in my body now is, and like keep saying out loud whatever my body sensation is, and he'll probably think I'm like crazy and stop talking to me. But like that's the only way I can think that I can project that I can stay in consciousness or semi-consciousness.
So there's a way in which you have a mantra of sorts that allows you to stay present when you're around him. And does that, go ahead, sorry.
I've never been in practice and around him.
You have not practiced being around him. So let me see. I think I'm following. You've had many phone conversations with this person, and you watch the sensations in your body and the state that you go to when you're around him on the just over the phone. And now you're contemplating actually being physically around him, and it's sort of like a support plan to see how you can support yourself when you're physically in his presence.
Yeah, I don't want to be the first Sangha member to commit a homicide. Yeah.
So you're listening to many voices tell you how it's going to go.
Well, the phone conversation, like, really scared me.
And it's really scared you. And so what is your practice when you get scared?
When I'm conscious, you mean when I come to?
Right. So you're aware of someone who's overwhelmed or scared. How do you support her?
Well, it's like I know how to support that person when I'm conscious. It's like, how do I stay conscious when that trigger starts?
Well, you know, Elizabeth, the answer to that is I don't know, and you probably don't either, because you haven't had a chance to be there yet to find out what goes on for you. What you're in right now is a conversation about how it's going to go, and how you're going to have to, what plan can you have, and how you're going to stay conscious when this happens, assuming that you won't stay conscious when it happens. So it's such an interesting place of being able to have all of your tools and to know that you can record and listen and that you can do the two-handed if you needed to. You can find ways to support yourself as you are going into the situation. But really, you actually have no idea how it's going to be until you get there. And then if you take it on as a workshop where you're going to find out what's going to happen and how you are going to be and how you're going to react and work with it, instead of going, oh, my God, I'm going to get overwhelmed and go unconscious and that causes a lot more overwhelm and anxiety, then we're actually supporting ourselves in the best way we can support ourselves, which is having no standards of expectation or outcome on how it's going to go.
But I can't have an awareness workshop if my nervous system goes wacko right away and stays there. And then I eat 5,000 cookies or something, you know, like that.
Yes. Well, you know, Elizabeth, my best intuition on this would be for you to be a little quarter all the while as you're going to this place, right? Because you don't know that you're going to eat 5,000 cookies. You have no idea how your nervous system is going to be. What you do know is that if you listen to those voices talking to you about how it's going to be, it's likely that you're going to have that experience. So the best support is for you to be able to be present and train with not listening to what the voices are predicting will happen. It's the best place and the best way to stay conscious.
But, I mean, you guys have teachings that guide how to deal with these dynamics and, you know, people who have this kind of, like, insanity going on.
And the teaching is to be present. Right?
Yes, I guess it's like a almost like a fight against my own nervous system.
It's not a fight against your own nervous system. If we use the language of practice, what you're going to commit to, whether or not that happens, you don't know. But what you're going to commit to be is to be as aware as you possibly can be, no reviews. And to be with her every step of the way, right? This person is aware that she might be going into a situation which may not be the most friendly for her. How it's going to go, you don't know. But what you're committed to doing is to being with her all the way. Perhaps you have a trick up your sleeve. Okay, well, I'm just going to reflect him. Or all I'm going to ever say around this person is, And 3 minutes into the conversation, I'm going to say, would you excuse me? I just have to go do something and go put on your recorder and listen to a recording that allows you to say, it's all right, you're here. You know, all you need to do is reflect. I'm here with you. Whatever it feels like that is supportive to assist you to be present through this process.
Okay, so maybe I'll just say that's the workshop is to be with the nervous system every step of the way.
Yeah, to be present. Yes, to pay attention. And I know we've talked about this a lot, right? You've got a lot of training in all I'm going to be, as you said, I'm going to be with my body. So perhaps the strategy is check in and see what am I feeling? What are the sensations? Where am I feeling it? And to hold an expanded awareness where you can constantly check in with yourself in order to be here and in order to be conscious and in order to be present. And then just see what happens and have that trusty recorder along so you can process what's going on for you with the mentor.
Yeah, I already have a holster for my recorder, so it's always right there. Okay, I guess it'll be like a workshop on the nervous system kind of workshop.
I'm willing. I'm going to see. I don't know what's going to happen, I'm not going to let the voices torture me about predictions about it while I get to this place, because that's my best training. I mean, it's the best training always, right? If I want to learn how to be present at some point, I have to be present now. So if the voices are talking me into a heightened state of anxiety right now, then they'll be able to talk me to a heightened state of anxiety when the circumstances perhaps are much more challenging. So my best opportunity to train myself to be here and present is to be able to train myself to be present here and not listen to those anxiety-making voices now.
Yeah, and then if my nervous system just ends up having a life and a process of its own, then that'll be that. That'll be what it is.
Well, you'll be there with that, right? You will be there with whatever it is. You can't predict what that is, but you'll be there with whatever it is. So you feel anxious or you feel angry or whatever else. You pick up the recorder and you're there with that, right?
Okay. All right, cool. Thank you. Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Good luck and let us know, huh?
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. Ashwini, what dropped in was the willingness and the courage to show up in our lives and be present and to ask for the support from practice that is going to help me to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the support from practice is always that. It's so constant, right? You're going to be fine. You'd use the tools. You show up. You breathe. You learn how to be here. Don't indulge any voices of self-hate, right?
Yes.
And then just see what happens.
Yes, yes. Yes, and I love when you and Sherry say, please report back, because we all, you know, we're all one team, and we all want to support each other, and we all want to know how it goes, and it's great.
Yeah, and that it's a process, right? It's what we're talking about, Susan. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's like, okay, I'm gearing up for the big leagues, and I'm going to see how it goes. It doesn't matter if I lose the game, but I certainly want to play.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Ashwini, we are going to hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
How we do anything is how we do everything. Which is very good news, because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen Awareness Coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Ashwini. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening. This is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi. Let's see. I'm trying to keep to 5 minutes. I am also in a workshop, and a workshop from life and also of my choosing, because I feel up for it. For the last several weeks, I've been practicing with making a daily recording about what conditioning is telling me and what's really true. And so it's becoming clearer in my life I guess what I'm trying to say is I start to see now everywhere, in more places anyway, what I'm being told And I'm starting to get clearer about what the stories are.
Uh-huh. So the workshop of your choice is to get really clear about the stories, the lies that conditioning is telling you, and for you to discern the difference between what is so for you and what you're being told, which is framing it, right? Because what you're being told is definitely the story, and then you are able to discern what is actually so. And more and more,
yes,
you see how this is pervasive in your day-to-day life.
Right. I noticed as I started doing the recordings, I started to see everywhere what I'm being told.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And the actual workshop is my mother's dying death. She's dying right now. And I am here with her, and I'm still making these recordings. And actually, the workshop is kind of reminiscent of what the first caller was talking about, because a lot of the early conditioning for me, well, for everyone, as you said earlier this evening, is about feeling unlovable or not valued or not mattering. And it's become clear that I'm clearer now that is mm-hmm. the conditioned story, and that what's really true is, you know, the people who raised me didn't have a lot of skills to, well, they actually were having the same experience of
mm-hmm,
not feeling
exactly
loved or valuable or mattering. And so they didn't have the ability to convey that to me. And so that me, who was then, that little person me, came to believe that, and that became a story for her. And I guess what I'm trying to say is when I came back here now to be with my mom, there are certain things that she does that push the button for the story, turn the story on. And what I'm seeing is that I can have a feeling, I can have an emotion in this human experience, and in the past it has often been interwoven with the story. And now what I'm seeing is there can be an emotion, and it's getting clearer how it can be, it doesn't have to be related to the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's come back to that one, Virginia, because what you're saying is so, it's so important to underline, right? So that place of we do to others what conditioning is doing to us because we're acting out of the identification, right? So
right.
If what you're recognizing in this exercise of recording what you're being told is the clarity of how that's what everyone is being told. It's not just you.
Exactly.
That everybody's got
yeah.
that experience of being told that they don't count, that they don't matter, that there's something wrong with them. And what they're doing is acting out from that self-hate and projecting it outward. And what you're recognizing is that it's not true necessarily, even if we're identified and acting out of it. Because what that is the identification, that conditioning, it's not really what's going on. But it's what
right.
we perceive and internalize and act from. So having this opportunity to be with your mother as she's dying allows you to be there in love, right? And when we're there
well,
in love, there's no question
yes.
of us not mattering, because what our operating
right.
process is love. Our operating process is not separation.
Exactly. And actually, you're right. In the word separation, you know, doing those recordings about what I'm being told and what's really true, oftentimes what's really true, almost every response that I have to that is that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is trying to keep me separate from life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah,
from
yes.
the love that you
and
are.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I don't know how to say this, but yes, no, I do. Going back to what you said, that since I've located that part in me that, I know we're not really talking about parts anymore, but that part in me who believes it, I don't have to identify with her. I can be the one that says, it's okay, it wasn't ever true, it's not true now, it was never true, and then I can start to see that place in other people, and then I can have compassion for them.
Yes, yes. So let me reflect what you said, because it's so important to underline. To recognize the part in me that believes that, and to know mm-hmm. that I don't have to identify with it, right? I don't have to come from that identification. I can be that conscious, compassionate awareness which can hold that in unconditional love and acceptance and offer that love that is that includes that aspect of you, and also mm-hmm. recognize that that aspect exists in everyone who's been subjected to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, and therefore be the conscious, compassionate awareness for them as well. For them to actually have the experience mm-hmm. that they've never had because they don't have this practice. They don't have the ability to make those movements into the conscious awareness from which exclusion and separation are not true realities.
Yeah, right. And what you're saying, too, is what you had said earlier was, I am now able to see my mom because I can see that little girl in her, and I can see her in me really clearly for the first time, and so it allows me to see her in my mom. And you know, it's kind of bittersweet. My mom's had a long, full life, but it's kind of bittersweet, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity, because you know, when my mom is here, when she's gone, even when she's gone, that conditioning would have lived on in me, and those beliefs about who I am and my lovability, et cetera, would have lived on. And it's like my mother's death has motivated me in a strange way. Life has offered me this to inspire me to turn to that karma and say, no, you know, I'm tired of that one.
Yeah, it really makes us fall on our knees with gratitude, right? Because life gives us this opportunity to free ourselves from the karma, but, you know, also mm-hmm. to free her, because she's lived with...
Ashwini?
Ashwini?
You cutting out? Hold on a moment, Virginia, there.
Oh, okay.
Michael?
Oh, there you are. You're back.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry, Virginia. I was just saying that now she has, you are able to offer that gift of setting her free. Because now she finally has an experience of unconditional love that she's never had before.
Oops, lost you again.
It's exquisite.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is exquisite.
Hello?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Ashwini, and thank you to Sangha and the practice and everyone, because you're right. The practice has given me this is an amazing opportunity. You're absolutely right, and I very grateful. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's the love that lives on, right? It's the freedom from the karma that lives on. And it's so wonderful when we can have that experience.
Right. Well, it's almost like she's giving me a gift right now.
Mm-hmm. She's giving you.
Because she's the vehicle for this.
Yes, and you are giving her a gift.
Yes, that's right, too. I forgot. Yeah. Yes.
Right. It's important, right, that we include ourselves. It's what we were talking about with Susan.
Right. Oops.
You there, Ashwini? Ashwini? Hold on a sec, Virginia. Let's see if she's still there.
Hey, Michael.
There you are.
Is Virginia still on?
Yes, I'm okay
to go. If you know, if you have something else, Ashwini, I'm welcome it, but I don't want to stay too long on the call.
Okay, thanks, Virginia. I was just going to follow up on that little thing that you said about how the story and the emotion don't necessarily have to go together.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That place of you recognize a feeling, a sensation that's very different from what the thought and the emotion related to the story is about. And that's a wonderful place to see how the circuit between those two is not connected.
Yeah. It's very exciting, Ashwini. Very exciting. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I do apologize about that. For some reason, I have moved a muscle, but we see.
Whoops.
Oh,
okay.
Huh.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you, Virginia. Good night.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, you still there, Ashwini?
I am, Michael, but I don't know how long I'll be here.
Okay.
We'll just give it a go and see.
Okay, well, we don't have too many more minutes, so let me get another caller here for us. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini and Michael. This is Art in Maryland.
Hey, Art.
Hey, Art.
Hey, thanks so much for the show tonight. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and I suppose that a workshop that I've been experiencing is related to earning money. And I retired from my regular job in March, and it was a well-paying job, and it was something that was challenging for me, and I'd done it for 33 years, just kind of cooped up. And so now I've got an outdoor job, which I love, and I'm, you know, I'm not making nearly as much money, and I think I need to make more money. So the workshop right now is about initiative, I think, about, and it might be related to commitments, but it's also I guess connecting with authenticity. Is life living me into a higher paying job, or is life living me into a more fulfilling job, or are they one and the same? And so I guess that's something that would be helpful to look at some more.
Mm-hmm. So let me see if I'm tracking. So you are in a job that you love, and there's awareness that perhaps you might want to change.
Ashwini, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Art?
Yeah, I'm here.
Art,
okay.
Yeah. Was I there at all, Michael, or completely gone?
You cut out. I didn't hear anything of what you said.
Okay, let me try it again. So I was just reflecting, Art, that what you're in right now is a job that you love. And there's an awareness that perhaps you might need to earn some more money. And where that leaves you is this debate about whether life is living you into a more fulfilling job, or into a job that might be less fulfilling but gives you more money. Am I right?
Yeah, and that's right. To what extent? I'm conditioned as a nine, you know, the peacemaker, and I think that engagement is my challenge. Typically, is the gift that being conditioned as a nine is given, and so I'm tempted just to be engaged in this here now, and to just apply myself to all sorts of new things to try.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So here you are doing something you love, and you're aware that what you would love to do is just to be present, right? To be engaged in this here now. And then you hear, and then I'm projecting this, but is this your experience that as you get clearer that what you want to do more than anything else is to be engaged in life, to be in relationship to life, and for life to inform you, here comes the conversation about, well, is life really living me to do this, or is life really living me into doing that, or which I project just takes you away from that engagement in the here now and turns it into a noodling with what is not here now, right?
Yes, yes, and there's a lot of energy in going after things that I'm really interested in that I seem to have a talent to do, and that has a lot to do with what my job is now. And I guess that it's not just the money. It's not obvious to me that the money is coming, and so I guess ego. There's a story going on that it's all about. I'm not doing enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good thing to recognize, right? To watch how the conversation takes you away from being present and possibly opening up the possibility for life to let you know what is next.
Yeah.
And be open to that, right? Because Sherry always says this, Michael?
Oh, there you are.
Wow. Okay. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you now. And Art, are you still there? Art, it looks
Have
like...
Have we lost Art?
Oh, how about now?
Oh, there you are.
Great.
Wow, so Mercury's not even retrograde. Anyway... In the 2 minutes that we have, I think what I was saying is that when we're here, having a good time being here, it's and having a lot of energy and enthusiasm and passion and interest in what we're doing, that is so threatening to ego that it comes in with, okay, well, what about this and what about the money and there's not enough and all of that to distract us from having that wonderful present experience of being fully animated.
That's really helpful. Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah, so it really just comes down to just go happy and just being happy now, and it really makes sense. And it works. You know, I in moments that's what has worked when I've been practicing. When stuff like that comes up. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yes, and you know, Art, it's also that place where if we are here and present and open to insight, then life will tell you what the next step is, and you will be lived by life. We don't have to leave here to get into a conversation about how life is living us in order to know that life is living us. And if we leave here to go into that conversation, then more likely than not, we're not going to be here when life gives us the information we need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the entire objective of that conversation, to distract us from the present moment.
Right. Beautiful. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad for tonight. And go happy.
You too, Art. Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Art and Ashwini. It was a wonderful show. I really enjoyed it. It's great to connect with
Yes,
everyone.
Despite our technological challenges, for which
yes.
I apologize, because I have no idea why that happened.
Yes, some of these things we never do now, do we?
Yeah, no, we never do. Well, thanks again, Michael. And
yes, are you there? Did I lose you? Ashwini, did I lose you again? All right, Ashwini, I'm going to sign off for the show. Safe travels. and have a great time in Africa, and we'll connect when you get back. Good night, everyone.